Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Ars Blog Arscast, right here on arsblog.com. It's been a strange kind of a week. The high of Barcelona evaporated somewhat by a last-minute equaliser against Leighton Orient in the FA Cup. And then a win against Stoke, which is always welcome, and you'll never hear me talking down a win against those long-throw, hoofing, hyper-mega-global cunts. But it was... I suppose the sheen was taken off, and not that there was much sheen, because it was, in fairness, a shit game. It wasn't much to look at, not much of a performance, it wasn't scintillating or exciting in any way, it was just Stoke. But anyway, it was marred somewhat by the injuries to Cesc Fabregas and to Theo Walcott, both of whom will miss the Carling Cup final, which is a bit of a shame for both of them. We'll touch more on that game a little bit later on, with team news and all that kind of stuff. But it is a busy show. There's plenty to get through between now and the end. Joining me in a few moments' time will be comedian and Arsenal fan Dara O'Brien. He's followed a bit later on by Tim Payton from the Arsenal Supporters Trust, who'll be giving us a rundown on the predicted interim financial results, which have suggested we might make a loss. And he'll be along to talk a bit about that and what it all means. As well as that, we've got our Shavin, we've got some Internet Joe and the usual bits and pieces as we look ahead to a Wembley date. And it's kind of a momentous day, too, in the life of Arsblog. I'll explain to you why a little bit later on as well. So, anyway, since the last Arscast and this Arscast, well, we had Leighton Orient in the Cup. And, well, you know, you make 10 changes from a team that beat Barcelona, it's always going to be a struggle for them to find any kind of fluency and play particularly well. Now, you'd expect them to do better, maybe against a team like Orient. However, for our boys, it was just another day at the office. For the Orient boys, they were promised a trip to Las Vegas. On the chairman, all expenses paid, bit of the old howdy-doody, few hands of blackjack, some CSI... and then back home again. So they had extra motivation for that. We should have won the game. Rosicky header should be enough to win any game. They're fairly rare, you would have to say, Rosicky headers. I'm not sure I can remember one in an Arsenal shirt before. Nevertheless, their guy tricked through Gibbs and Mikel and put a shot through Almunia's legs. And there you go, 1-1 and an FA Cup replay. But to me, replays are just very much part of the FA Cup. We could have done without it, for sure. Nevertheless, we'll get on with it. And it's another chance for the guys who don't play as regularly as the rest of them to show what they can do. And, you know, the more that they get these chances to show what they can do, you know, you might start thinking slightly negatively. But you have to put it in perspective. 10 of them came in, and, you know, if you make 3 or 4 changes... I suggest the team would be a bit better. But 10, didn't happen. Anyway, we're still in the cup. The quadruple is still on, for now. And then we had Stoke in midweek, and, well, it was just a pretty horrible game of football. It was the yin to the Barcelona yang, which was two open teams trying to play attractive, attacking football. And then there was Arsenal against Stoke. And... we took an early lead, Skilacci header, Bentner cross. That's 2 assists for Bentner now in the last 2 games for headers for players you wouldn't normally expect. And Stoke in the first half, they were very, very timid, I thought, for Stoke. They were quite timid indeed. They didn't really come out of their own half. They got everyone behind the ball apart from Pieriednek, who had 1 shot which Szczęsny saved. And apart from that, it was not much happened. We had lots of the ball, didn't do anything with it. In the second half, clearly Pulis had a word in the dressing room in the second half. And I think that word was hurt them. That's 2 words. But it's safe to assume he might have used two words, not just one, in his halftime team talk, because they came out and got a bit stuck in, and there was a foul by Carew on Juru, and then there was Delap on Sagna, and they were just a bit more feisty and a bit more stokey, you would have to say. And apart from one header, I think from a Delap throw, that I think it was Huth that got to it, they didn't really do an awful lot. There was the pennant free kick, but Chesney had that covered. And that was that, 1-0. But it was all very underwhelming because of the injuries to Cesc and to Theo, who went over on his ankle, and Cesc, who came off after about 10, 15 minutes, knowing that he'd done his hamstring again. And initially, the diagnosis was quite bad. It was sort of 2 to 3 weeks. Now we're hearing that perhaps it won't be 2 to 3 weeks, but he's a bit short for the final on Sunday, which is a real shame. I think everybody feels very sorry for him, because I think we all know how much it means to him to lead the team, to be the captain of the team, the captain of the club, and how much it would mean for him to lead the team out and play at Wembley and win a trophy. However, in the short term, it's a pain. In the long term, there are still three other titles that he could win this season. The FA Cup, we're still in the Champions League, and we're in there fighting for the league title just a point behind Manchester United. So we have to take the sensible approach. And as heartbreaking as it might be in the short term, let's hope that it leads to better things in the medium to longer term. And there you go. So that was that. That was the week. Not much else. So here's Internet Joe.
I'm Internet Joe, and here's my 32nd roundup. FA Cup, Leyton Orient, sounds like a failed heavyweight. Ah, first half, second half, Rosicki goal. What is this, a month of Sundays? Should win this now easy. Ah, Mounia, make like every girl I know and close your bleeding legs. Stoke, I hate this country, fucking hate them so much. Skilachi, get in there. Cesc, no. Theo, no. We win, but the injuries.
More from Internet Joe on next week's Arsecast. Still to come, Tim Payton from the AST. We'll have some Arshavin, and we'll be looking ahead, of course, to the Carling Cup final. Small matter of a trophy to win this weekend and all that. But now I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Arsenal fan and comedian Dara O'Brien. Hi there.
How are you? How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, the last time we spoke, you were doing a column for The Guardian, in which there was plenty of repartee, shall we say. Do you miss that at all, or is Twitter providing you with all the football interaction you need?
I kind of get enough of it. I didn't miss the 300 scathing comments at the bottom of every week. It was astonishing to me how, when because I wrote it with a view of, right, I'm a fan, so I'll write general things, and they will come forward from the specific observation of an Arsenal thing into the more general observation of, hey, when you're a fan, isn't it maddening when this, that, or the other. But every one of the people that commented just said, Twice is always about Arsenal, and never saw any of the general points that I felt I was making. So, frankly, the ones I look back on most fondly is the one about the Irish women's bobsleigh team. The one that really kicked stuff off for me was, I wrote about Stoke, and a man you and I both know via Twitter, I don't know if you know him personally, John Cross in the Mirror, has had a similar experience, which is apparently if you write about Stoke, the people of Stoke get really angry, particularly if you correctly characterise their team as a blundering group of Neanderthals who don't even have a route. Oh, I mean, horrible, absolutely vile. I've had two injuries that weren't from injuries. I don't even have a sense of a proper outrage. I was dreading this game for this exact reason. I can't even be outraged about it. Anyway, we're running these for Stoke, and that still rumbles on. People think, just for writing out the word Shawcross, he's not that type of player.
Well, Stoke, I mean, we had them midweek, and like you say, there isn't even the outrage that the injuries were caused by something terrible that they did. But they are horrible to watch.
And there was no, like, I have not seen a stadium deflate as quickly, because initially, I mean, Walker hit the post within 4 seconds, and then we scored the goal, and this is fantastic, and then we're going to be cantering through this, and obviously in typical Arsenal fashion we don't, but not since the Champions League game, where the two goals went in really quickly, and we went from waving our brand new scarves to just sitting there wanting the clock to run down. I've not seen a game. I seen just go thump, and even they all went on the pitch. All the team players went thump, and it was really obvious that we were just. It was like there'd been a bad injury, like the Birmingham game, we're moving along, and all of a sudden, thump, shoulders just drop, and it was awful. So still at this point waiting to hear the news. I was supposed to be meeting Cesc today, because he was guesting on a Sky panel show called League of Their Own, and he was the guest on it, and they lured me onto doing it again with the promise of Cesc. Cesc is not doing it, obviously, today. Apparently, Clichy is.
Oh.
Arshavin, yes, I can see that. Szczesny is destined for this stuff. Szczesny's going to be on every TV show in the world eventually. Szczesny is just balls out funny. But Clichy's quite quiet, and I wouldn't have thought he's more of a laugh-alonger than anything else, Clichy.
That's a strange choice, all right. I would like to see... Arshavin did Question of Sport, I think.
Yeah, he did do Question of Sport, with very little English, as far as I remember, and sat there almost completely in silence. But, happy to be there. We all know Wojciech is going to be a bit of a character.
The Twitter stuff is brilliant, isn't it?
It is genius. It's genius. I mean, is it a burn in the plane? No, it's actually called for Chelsea of the FA Cup. That's legendary. I'd be delighted with that.
Yeah, I mean, to do it, though, at his age, and as a guy who's only just sort of emerged into the team, and we hear all the time about his self-confidence, etc., but, I mean, it's beyond Bentner, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But Bentner is all about himself. Bentner's confidence is entirely the amount of times you go, oh, there goes the third best striker in the world, and Bentner hoofs another one. The shots to goals ratio for Bentner, I thought it was in the Guardian today, it's like 0.15 or something like that. For Van Persie, it's 0.7. And for Messi, it's 1.1. But somehow, Bentner still remains the third greatest striker in the world, in Bentner's world.
It's a happy world.
Bentner's going to go, isn't he, at the end of the year?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I quite like him, I have to say. I know he's a bit clumsy and oafish at times, but I quite like him.
He's a galoot at times, but he then does pop up and score. Most of the goals he scored, actually, as a YouTube reel, he's been really good again this year. He's not going the off-the-arse ones that he was. He's knocking them in. And that one where he clipped it with a tortoise and then knocked it with a back foot, the one against Leeds
Ipswich.
That's a great goal. He can do it. So there's a lot of, and there's also if he pulled the ball back against Barcelona to Van Persie, we could have been 3-1 up.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, there is an error, and I'm not saying people wouldn't have seen it. I mean, this thing doesn't happen fast. But have you done that? Because imagine being 3-1.
Yeah.
That's for the realm of hypothesis.
Wasn't it? Quite some night, though, that Barcelona game. And,
the Barcelona was phenomenal. One of the best. We in the Emirates, those of us who regularly got to attend, just friends that went to the Emirates, where I think it was generally viewed as it's up there, it's not better than the one against United when Henry scored with a header in extra time.
Mm.
That would be the only time you heard that noise off it. And that noise is the whole way through. It was pretty fantastic. And it was good that we had late Norient just to calm our nerves.
Bring us back down to earth.
Yeah, just in case you'd lost the run of ourselves. There was Almunia ready to basically repel gravity. which is his enormous gift is to fight one of the fundamental forces of nature. His term of velocity is half of what it is for normal men. Just can't get down. Just cannot, can't fall as quickly as other human beings. Almunia to block a ball. It's always been near post low has always been his thing. Mm. And you kind of go, well, of all the places, that is, just your weight will get you there. Just inevitably, you'll get there if you just don't stop yourself going there. So why is that so difficult to, you're constantly being tugged towards the near post anyway by the planet. Mm. So why is that so difficult to do when there's a man advancing?
Well, one for science.
Yes. And listen, I know he may have discovered an amazing new particle, the Almuniite, which is the world's lightest metal. But it was a I'm not worried about the Leighton game because, well, I won't be around for the thing. I'm away working, unfortunately. But I don't think they'll do it in the I think Leighton's motivation is done because you can't offer them a second trip to Vegas.
Yeah, where do you go from there? Gomorrah?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I know it's like you could play an Old Trafford, but you're in the Emirates, like, so, you know, frankly, you know, you've done that. Go take a few photographs of yourself. Not only that, also because Ramsey will be back for that one.
I don't think he's allowed to play because he was on loan with another club for the first leg, so he's not eligible, unfortunately.
Oh, you're joking? Hang on, in the FA Cup?
Yeah, because he was at Cardiff when the first game was played, so he's not eligible for the replay. That's how
that's
it works.
Interesting, because the website did let on. The website implied that he'd been penciled in for a return on that.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it's working, which is unfortunate. Yes. But it'll be good to see him back.
I was all about how sentimental that was going to be.
Well, he'll have the next round. He'll have the next round. The return leg in Barcelona. Looking forward to that.
Enormously. I have black tickets, which I looked up in that nerdy way, went to the stadium plan just to get the full anticipation. I am block one, seat three, which means that the way it's numbered is, if somebody has to throw a pig's head at Luis Figo, I am in exactly the seat to do that. It is right on the corner flag. I have no idea if this means a very bad seat or very good seat, because it could be just one of these stadiums where it will just be legs. It will just be a flurry of legs and I won't see anything at all.
I've never been that low down in it, but I have been relatively low down. I think the view is pretty good.
But I know people who've got seats that low in that close in the Emirates and they can see nothing. You know, you get a general swoop of, oh, it's great to be there, don't get me wrong. But, like, you certainly don't get to see the shapes and the patterns pan out. So, I'm not sure. It could be a terrible thing, but it could be wonderful. Who knows? But it is. You will see me if either team run to that corner with 2 minutes on the clock to wind down. and I would either be screaming at Messi or I would be cheering on Cesc or whoever at that stage, Nazi presumably. So that is a point to keep an eye out for me, roaring and throwing a pig's head out onto the pitch.
And you could tackle as well if you wanted.
I could probably make the leap. You know, what's the word? I'd ban from the new camp.
Probably forever, but.
Possibly, I use a good stadium. Yeah, do you think that would that carry through to other stadia? Would I get banned from?
Maybe, but you know, it'd be quite a string to add to your bow if you went up the other end and scored.
Yeah, well, I'm not expecting to like get the ball and dribble it. But maybe just hoof it. Yeah. And Bender can latch onto it as we speak. Koscielny's out, Van Persie's out, Thierry's out, and Cesc is out.
Bring your boots.
It's Nasri just needs to do one thing, and then we're just relying on Arshava to essentially juggle the ball. Wilshere, who's decided to start dribbling now. Do you know what it's like? You've had a child. It's like the thing of every day they're doing something new. Every day there's a new word. Every day, you know, the first four swing steps. Every day is an exciting new journey at that age. Wilshere's like that. He's now dribbling. And what else is he going to start doing? All he needs is to start doing 30-yard shots, screamers into the net. And he attempted one against what do they call it, Stoke, last night. And, you know, there's just how many strings are there going to be on this bow? He's phenomenal.
Speaking of defenders that are injured, you were one of the last people to see Thomas Vermaelen alive
the
flesh.
Seen Thomas Vermaelen. Live and in the wild,
yes.
And he wasn't wearing any weird shoes, and that was in December. I did a charity event, an after dinner at a charity event a charity organised by the players' wives, which is Alan's wife, RVP's wife, and Cesc's wife, the names of whom I've forgotten now. Carl, I think it's Cesc, Mrs. And they did the thing, and I ran around like an idiot getting photographs of them all, including Vermaelen, who seemed to be in good form and seemed to be relatively healthy. I think, you know, that he's slacking. But he was all a bit rueful and, well, maybe in January.
Yeah, but here we are. Here we are in February, and it's coming. What was that like doing the gig in front of the Arsenal players? Because I know that, you know, most of them speak pretty good English, but I can imagine there were the nuances of your humour were lost, perhaps, on Eboué, for example.
Eboué hadn't a clue. I went up to Eboué and because I had to get a photograph off of Eboué. Wanted to get the hug, but he wasn't offering them at the time.
Oh.
But the it was Eboué, I don't think, got it at all. Song looked slightly bewildered because I started talking about his hair at one stage. Mm. And I don't think he particularly got it either. A lot of the Carlos Vela looked a bit bewildered at the back of the room too. But then again, you know, he was looking forward to getting to West Bromwich and kicking his career off properly. But probably the finest moment was, because it wasn't just the current one, I did a joke very early which I was wondering, should I, shouldn't I do it? And then when you're out there, you just go, fuck it. And it was, in your honour, because the first team's got it here, I'm going to perform this joke exactly as you'd like, as you would as well. The first half of my set is going to be really entertaining and exciting to watch, and the second half will be incredibly nerve-wracking and difficult. So, and that got off Thierry Henry, who was sitting at the front table, this big, ooh, face, which you don't get enough of, to be honest. the big, ooh, you've been zinged face from Thierry Henry. And I think that kind of, and then I pointed that out, and that kind of broke the ice a bit. So they were all very nice. I mean, like, I think the fact that I was doing a free charity gig for, you know, for the wives of whoever just meant they all had to pay.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But it wasn't like some of those gigs are an absolute nightmare. This one was all right. It's not Bob Hope by any stretch of the imagination. A large Irishman roaring abuse and then walking around and demanding photographs of them all, which I then tweeted to everyone I know.
Yes.
And sent it off like, yeah, because you have to.
Well, you have to, of course. Absolutely.
Me in a brewery, for Christ's sake. There's a thing.
Classic. It's a classic, that one.
He was the last one off the field against Stoke. He didn't play against Stoke, but he still runs out, strips off the top, presents it to the people, takes the applause, runs in. It's fantastic.
The provider of clothing to many an Arsenal fan. Wembley. Let's touch very quickly on Wembley against Birmingham on Sunday. You're going, we know how long it's been since Arsenal have won a trophy.
You know, if it just stops that stat, dreadfully afraid that, you know, in the nature of things, you know, the ball will bounce a different way and somebody else will win, right? And I don't get as frantic as the papers do about, well, it's been blank number of years because, you know, we built a stadium in that time, so I have a tendency to think. And frankly, even if we won nothing this year, I'm really enjoying this. It's a really enjoyable year of football that we're watching here. And that doesn't evaporate if we don't have a silverware to show for it. Mm. So there's a kind of tendency among football writers to talk about the end game as if this is the only possible joy you could take from it. We'll be collecting a trophy at the end of the year, which is nonsense. Yeah. And one of these things, it's that and the mentality. It's all about the mentality. Sometimes it's not about the mentality. Sometimes it is about the way the ball bounced on the day.
Sure.
You know, and so there's a lot of guff written about this kind of stuff. But the I am less supremely confident than I was, given that the two lads are injured.
But you said supremely confident, so you're just
And the minute I said it,
you're somewhat majestically confident now. Or
no, do you know what I mean? I will be petrified the entire 90 minutes. There's no matter, you know, now that, you know, we can't go forward, unless we get that lucky fifth goal, I'm just going to see it. I'm going to be in bits, like. I think we should do it, but the minute I'm in the stadium, I'll have that view. I mean, which apparently now I'm reading a book about paranormal psychology, which talks about the name for the effect by which the match you watch when your team are playing is very different from the match people watch if it's not their team.
Yes, that makes sense.
We've all, I think, observed that. I will sit petrified every in the ball because over the halfway line. Every time some random 6'9" bean pole Birmingham striker wanders towards the halfway line, I'll get really petrified. But,
well, that's part of the joy of the game, isn't it? We'll have to wait and see. Darragh, we better leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. Enjoy Wembley and enjoy Barcelona.
Thank you very much. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much indeed to Darragh O'Brien. And if I were him, I would certainly patent that Almuniite thing, that particle. It makes so much sense, scientifically, logically, everything else. Explains a lot about Manuel. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you can do so. It's twitter.com/Darragh O'Brien. And if you don't know how to spell that, well, it's exactly the way it sounds if you went to school in Ireland. So there you go. Now, before we move on, here's Arshavin.
Hello, I am Arshavin. And this week have a okay week because play game in cup against... don't remember name, team in red, and are going to win game, but they score goal. And after, in dressing room, Almunia is, crying. And I say, oh, Almunia is okay. Mistake can happen, and next time you do this, I will rip out your heart with my teeth. Almunia, stop crying. Then beat Stoke, and it's always difficult game because everywhere they see ball. How to explain? Knee is ball to kick, ankle, ball, so kick, stomach, ball, kick. But we were strong and win game. And after, I am passing the Stoke dressing room and I see big monster who break Ramsey's leg. And I say, hey, big monster who break Ramsey's leg. And he say, oh. And I say, you are cunt. And then from nowhere, little tiny man appear. Say, hey, pick on someone own size. And I say, I will, but he is more my size than you. You are wear glasses and have cap and are like midget Napoleon. And please put clothes on. Don't like your balls. I did not like his balls at all. They were disgusting. They are in my dreams now.
We'll have more from Arshavin on another Arscast in the very near future. Now, Arsenal are about to release their interim financial results, and with me to discuss the results or the projected results and the implications of them, I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Tim Payton from the Arsenal Supporters Trust. Hi, Tim.
Hi there.
The AST are predicting that Arsenal are going to post a loss in these interim results. Can you explain what's going on there? Because previously, obviously, the financial results have been quite healthy.
Yeah, these are the half-year results, of course, and there's five main reasons why we are predicting a loss will be reported next week. The first one is that for the first time in a long time, we had no major player sales in the summer to contribute to the profits. The second is the 17 new contracts having been awarded or updated with players, and those starting to come through in terms of costs. We're moving to a situation where we're no longer a property company. There's very little property contribution coming through to the bottom line at the moment. Commercial income still remains rather static under the historic deals that were signed to fund the Emirates, not bringing in as much as the competitors in the marketplace now. And finally, just the way the first half of the financial year falls, set against when we've played fixtures. We've had less fixtures in the first half this year, and they bring in a large proportion of our revenue through match day income. So you put those factors together, and we think there'll be a small loss reported next week, which is the first time that's happened for a while.
It's not something terribly significant, though, in the sense that it doesn't mean that Arsenal are in a bad position financially, does it?
No, it doesn't. In some ways, the underlying position is one that's strengthening, because we want to be in a situation where the manager doesn't feel that he needs to sell a player each summer as part of generating cash, you know, to strengthen his squad elsewhere. We want to be pulling our players under contract, the good ones, so they can't be stolen from elsewhere. And the underlying, I think, Arsenal business is still strong. Although what the club absolutely have to watch is that at the moment we're in a situation where our football income roughly matches our football expenditure, i.e. if you take out the property contribution, we spend what we earn. And in this ever-inflationary football world, we are going to have to keep earning more revenue to remain competitive. That means growing commercial income, really. That's all there is left to grow. And of course, always being as efficient as you can with football costs. Is our squad the right size? Are some players getting paid too much? But if we debated that, we'd be here till tomorrow, wouldn't we?
I think so. You talk about the commercial side of things, and I think that's something the club have put a great deal of paid attention to over the last little while. We've seen new marketing directors come in, etc., etc. And you talk about the deals that were done at the time, which are absolutely necessary to get us where we are now in terms of the stadium, etc., being built. But is there a sense that certain deals might be renegotiated, or that commercial income can be increased through other things? I know we've heard whispers that there might be a summer tour this year, for example.
I think the really big year for Arsenal, and there's a little way to go, is 2014. That's when some of the main contracts, Nike and Emirates on the shirts, can be renegotiated. And what the club are very conscious of doing now is building the collateral and improving the offer that they can go out to the marketplace in. And one thing they must do is demonstrate that the club is internationally focused. And I think we'll see an announcement going to the Far East, almost certainly to Japan, which I think is part of keeping Arsene Wenger happy, because of course he once managed there and knows the place quite well. But that's all part of ramping up our commercial activity, bringing in a club set up that they will hope to secure much bigger contracts on going forward. The opportunity cost of our contracts at the moment, set against what our competitors have, is between £15 and £20 million a year. So there is quite a lot to play for.
What about the property? I know you said that that's more or less at an end now. Is there still some dealing to be done there?
I think if you want a flat in Highbury Square, there's probably less than 25 left. We'll know the exact figure next week, but that's nearly done. There's the big site at Queensland Road, which the club will look to sell in one go. Unlike Highbury Square, where Keith Edelman fancied himself as a bit of a property magnet, property developer, I think Arsenal will sell that to a developer and just pocket the cash for the sum. It's roughly worth about one Andy Carroll, maybe a bit more, depending on what you think Andy Carroll is worth.
Yeah, well, this is it. It's real worth of the transfer worth.
I think it might be worth just one block, and there's two blocks there. But right. it's that kind of amount. It's one very good player, and I think that will probably be sold somewhere in the next year to 18 months, and that will partly fill the gap until we get to this bigger commercial income. But in essence, what we will see from next week is the ending of Arsenal's days as a football and property company, which they've had for several years, and back to being concentrated on just being a football operation.
And in terms of the money that the manager has at his disposal, we've heard time and time again that there's money there for him in the transfer market if he wants to use it. Will this impact what he has to spend, the fact that the results are slightly less good than they have been, or is that still sort of ring-fenced as part of the overall budget?
Now, Arsenal supporters shouldn't worry that this means that there is, you know, a worsening financial situation. There is still very good cash inside the club. There's still the transfer proceeds account, which has the monies that are ring-fenced for future investment in players. You know, in a simplistic term, the Kolo Touré and Adebayor money is still there, and the club finances are underlyingly healthy. So, you know, there is more than enough money here to absolutely keep all of the existing squad together if they wish, and certainly add to it with one or two top talented players. So no need for major alarm there. Not that we could find a Torres at 50 million, but I certainly think, you know, we could bring in the equivalent of another Nasri and Koscielny, that kind of level of signing.
All right. OK, Tim, listen, we better leave it there. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
You can find more details of the Arsenal Supporters Trust on their website, which is arsenaltrust.org. Or you can follow Tim himself on Twitter. It's twitter.com/Tim Payton. That's P-A-Y-T-O-N. So give him a follow if you want to chat with him about Arsenal's finances or any of the other good stuff that the Arsenal Supporters Trust does. Now, Wembley, Sunday, the Carling Cup final, and a chance to put to bed this Arsenal haven't won a trophy in X amount of years thing that's gone on. Obviously, it's a little more tricky than it would have been if we'd had Cesc fit and Theo fit. However, there's other good team news. Robin van Persie is back. Lauren Koscielny is back. Abu Diaby is back. So it's kind of swings and roundabouts a little bit. I don't know which is the good one out of those, the swing or the roundabout. But obviously, it'd be much better for everyone if Cesc was fit and if Theo was fit and we had a fully fit squad going into this. But then this is Arsenal, etc., etc. As I said earlier, you've got to feel for Cesc. Arsenal are in a cup final. He's the captain of the team. And, you know, you really want him to be there and lead us out. And hopefully, at the end of 90 minutes, be there and lift up a trophy. But football is a bit cruel sometimes. There are other big finals and big players didn't appear in them. I think it was it Scholes and Keane who missed out in the 99 Champions League final. And it's not the same. Even if we win it, it won't be the same for Cesc. But the important thing is that we win it, because it's something that's more important than Cesc Fabregas. It's something that's hugely important for the club and for this team, because they've got to make the next step now. They've got to back up this talent and promise and potential that we've seen. And we haven't always seen in great consistency, but we've seen enough of it. And they've got to back that up now with a trophy. And while on the one hand I'm confident, on the other I'm slightly fearful of not winning this because of the knock-on effects it might have. And what it might mean to the fans' faith in the team and everything. But I'm not going to think negatively. I'm going to think positively. We've beaten Birmingham already this season. Obviously, they're going to be up for it big style because it's a cup final. But I think if we go out and we play the way we can play, it's not as if we don't have reasonable replacements for the players that are missing. I suspect Diaby will start in the centre of midfield, where Fabregas would have been. And I think Nasri will play on the right-hand side. I think we'll see Van Persie in the middle, of course, up front, and Arshavin on the left. And the rest of the team pretty much picks itself then. And we know that if they go out and they give it everything they've got, that they can win any game. We also know, and we've seen a few times this season, that unless they give it everything they've got, things can go a bit wrong. But it is a huge chance for this team and for some of them who haven't been in the team that long, Jack Wilshere, Szczesny, to win a trophy. It's a chance for someone like Robin van Persie, who's been in the team for years and years and hasn't won a thing, to win something at last. And for these players to go out and pick up a winner's medal, I think what it will do for the team is immeasurable. It'll give them that confidence and that belief that they need, that they can, they know that they can win things. We've been in finals since our last trophy. We've lost a Champions League final. We've lost a Carling Cup final. So it's not as if we haven't had the chances. But we won't ever have a better chance of a trophy than this. We could be facing much sterner opposition, and that's not to underestimate Birmingham in any way, but we could be facing much sterner opposition. But if we play the way we know we can play and everything clicks, then I think at the end of the 90 minutes, we're going to be happy. And I know I mentioned earlier on that it was a sort of a momentous day for Arsblog as well. The Carling Cup final is taking place on the 9th birthday of Arsblog. How about that? 9 years ago this Sunday, I sat in my office in my office. It was the top of the house in Barcelona, the Solarium, which was rather fantastic. I missed that room because on either side you had a terrace. And on the terrace, there was generally sunshine, what with it being Barcelona. And I sat in that office one day and I said to myself, I need to do a website because I was trying to do web design, all that kind of stuff. And I came up with this fantastic concept. It was called The Church of Bob. And I soon realized that there wasn't really enough material to help me update a website based around the mythical church of Robert Pires, where he was the priesty guy and we were all his swooning disciples. And so I thought about, well, what was it? Let's extrapolate here a bit and what comes after. Well, Pires played for Arsenal, and Arsenal, I could do a blog about Arsenal. What would you call a blog about Arsenal? Arseblog. And lo and behold, it was born. And here we are, in the blink of an eye, 9 years later. And we're playing the Carling Cup final on that very day. And I hope that it's a good omen. Not that I believe in omens, really, but I hope it is. So what else is there to say? Other than, it's Arseblog's birthday. The Arsenal are playing in a cup final at Wembley. We could lift some silverware. Come on. Well, what can you do? I don't know what else to say other than let's win this fucking thing. Let's just win it and then kick on from there and win more things and then more things and then more things and then go for another period without winning anything and everyone will get miserable and then slowly, 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 and then we'll win more things and that's the way it goes. But it's about time we won something. And I really hope the boys can do us proud on Sunday. Those of you who are going, enjoy yourselves. The rest of us will be watching on and keeping fingers crossed and everything else that we can get the right results. So until next week's Arsecast, take it easy. Here's to victory. Here's to silverware. Here's to a trophy on Sunday. Until next time, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello, Mummy. Shawcross here. Oh, Shawcross need lift home, Mummy. Shawcross so upset. Oh, play Arsenal. Everything go wrong. Shawcross so upset. Shawcross cry. And tears go down Shawcross face into mouth. And Shawcross eat tears. So tomorrow, Shawcross tears become poo, and Shawcross cry out on bottom. Yes, Mummy, yes, we lose game. But worse, Shawcross not break anyone leg. How can Shawcross not be not that kind of player when he not do something to not make him that kind of player? Oh, Mummy, I need lollipop and to suckle just for a minute.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.